This morning, we'll be looking at the Epistle of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17 together. And I would like to ask you to turn there in your Bibles and follow along as I read from that passage. James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have the privilege of coming into the presence of you, a glorious God, this morning. Thank you that we read in the scriptures that where your people are gathered, that we come together to form a temple for your spirit to dwell. And so, Lord, we ask that you would dwell among us during this time. May we glorify and honor you in our time of worship. And Lord, specifically during these next few minutes, we have the honor of listening and reading your word and thinking on its truths. Father, humble us today. Humble us before your sovereign presence and remind us that there are so many things in this world that we need to submit to you and to your sovereign control over our lives. Lord, we thank you that we have this privilege of worshiping and meditating on your word today. I pray that your spirit would teach us and help us to apply what we hear. And we pray this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I think every single one of us, just our natural inclination is to want to be the ruler and master over our own lives. We want to have things under control. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to have things all planned out. We don't like surprises, do we? We don't like the unexpected. I think as we look at the Bible, especially going all the way back to the opening chapters of Genesis, we can see that a fundamental part of our problem as human beings, as sinful human beings, is a desire to run our lives our own way. We want to be the king. We want to make our plans, and we want those plans to come to fulfillment. We don't want anyone else to veto those plans. And probably nothing else in the world reveals to us as much our own desire for our own self-sovereignty as when our plans don't work out the way that we hoped. The way that we react in those moments, the way that we respond to unexpected difficulties, to our plans being rerouted, that's a window into our soul. It's a window into how much we desire the control for our lives instead of saying, as James teaches us to say, if it is the Lord's will, this or that is going to happen. We will do this or that. One of the times that I think this was revealed to me in my own heart the most was on one of the times when we were moving as a family. Just to give a personal illustration, I'm sure many of you can identify with the situation that I'm going to present to you, and so you're probably going to be nodding your heads and saying, I've been through something like that before. But it's a reminder of how much we desire to be in control. We've moved several times, more times than I would like to count. Carolyn's shaking her head, yes. I think I've, you know, together as a family with the help of friends and loved ones, we've packed a U-Haul truck about 9 or 10 times, I think. And I don't want to do that again. So I don't want to look forward to doing that again. But on one time in particular, if you've ever gone through a move, you know that some moves go well, some moves don't go so well. And there are things that can happen in the course of a move that can really throw things off and upset you. And so I had done all my planning. We were moving from Michigan to Alabama. And this was the first time that we lived in Alabama several years ago. And I had done all my planning. I had arranged the truck for a certain time in the morning. And so we go to the place and they don't have a truck for us. I'd done all the reservation, but they didn't have one. And so I waited around for hours at the place waiting for them to get a truck. Meanwhile, I have several people at our apartment waiting to help us pack a truck that isn't there. And so they're all just sitting around doing much of nothing. And so I'm there. We got there, I think, at 9 o'clock in the morning, waited around till after lunchtime. And finally, they said they had a truck for us. And so finally got a truck, finally on the way back to the apartment. And we're more than halfway home back to the apartment. And the check engine light comes on. Now, you know, a check engine light, it could be nothing. It could be something. And we're about to drive 800 miles in a moving truck. I don't want to break down on the side of the road and have to move all of this stuff out of this truck into another truck on the side of the road. And so I have to take it back and say, I need a different truck. This check engine light is on. And so meanwhile, the long story is that we did not get a working truck until about 5:30 that day. And I was supposed to have it at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so we're loading at night. We're loading in the dark and people are trying to help us. And of all the times that I can remember losing my cool, that was the day. I was upset. I was yelling on the phone at the people at the rental truck place. And I was probably just blowing my testimony from here to kingdom come. You've been through situations like that before. And that's just a reminder of how much when things don't go our way, especially if it's a major thing, a major move, a major event, something we've been planning for a long time, we've invested a lot of time and money and effort into something, and then something goes wrong, it can get you more angry than just about anything else in the world. And I think it's revealing to us of our own hearts and how much we desire to be in control and we desire to plan things and we want those things to happen. But James is reminding us here that we're not in control. Ultimately. We're not ultimately in control. We're finite. We're small. God is infinite. God is sovereign. God is providential in providence over the things of the world. We're not. And so James is going to teach us a very important lesson here that I think we know, we all believe this theologically, but there's a lot of times, a lot of days in our lives when things happen that we don't go back to this truth. And we don't humble ourselves before this truth as we should. And so I just want to remind us that God's in charge, we're not. I mean, it's a very simple, big idea, but that's really what James is teaching us here. God's in charge, we're not. And so any plans that we make have to be submitted humbly before God. And so I want to give you 3 points today, but the first one is simply this, and James doesn't come right out and explicitly say this in the passage, but this is kind of more of a qualification on the rest of what I'm going to say. And the first point is this: I think planning for the future is necessary and wise. Planning for the future is necessary, it's wise, and I think to some degree reflects the image of God in us. God is a planning God. God is a wise and intelligent God. God has the end of all creation, the end of the universe, the end of history planned out from the very beginning before it ever came into existence. God is a planning God. And I think us being made in His image, we have that to a finite degree. We desire to create things, to make things, to plan things. We use the wisdom that God has given to us, and I think that's good and that's right. He's told us to take dominion over this world, to have exercised dominion over the creation. And a part of that is just using the intelligence, the rational, logical planning ability that He's given to us. And so I don't think there's anything inherently in this passage that says that going out on a business venture is wrong. he uses the example here of some business people, and they've got some business plans. And he says, hey, we're going to go to this city, and we're going to spend a year there, and we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make a profit. I don't think James is necessarily critiquing the fact that they're business people and they're desiring to make a profit out of their business. I think that's fine. A legitimate business, I think it's fine to legitimately seek to ethically make a profit in your business. I also think that James is not in this passage saying that planning per se is wrong. I think planning is an essential part of who we are as human beings made in God's image, and so we should plan. We see examples in Scripture of God's people planning for the future. One of the ones that comes to my mind immediately is the Apostle Paul, when he expresses in his letters that he has plans to make it all the way to Spain to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was looking forward. He was looking ahead to future opportunities for gospel advancement. But we know even in Paul's life that things that Paul planned didn't always work out the way that he thought. Sometimes he ended up in a shipwreck, floating in the water on wood. He never made it to Spain to share the gospel. His life's journey ended in Rome. So even for Paul, this apostle who was revealed things from God, especially, even he didn't know the future, and many of his plans didn't work out exactly the way that he had thought. And so we need to remember that it's right, it's good to plan. I think it's a part of who we are as human beings. But secondly, our planning for the future should be done in humility, not in proud presumption. And so I think planning for the future is wise, it's good, it reflects the fact that we're made in the image of God. But what James is teaching us in this passage is that we need to approach our planning, and not just business, but any plans that we make in any aspect of our lives, all of our planning needs to be done in humility. And we need to come under and submit and place ourselves under the sovereign providence of God. And James gives us several reasons why we should do that, why we should be humble, and why we should not be proudly presumptuous. Here's just a few things that James teaches us in this passage. One, why we should plan in humility is because we don't know or control the future. We don't know or control the future, but our sovereign God does. And so in this passage, he says in verse number 14, he says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. That's true, isn't it? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, we think we do. And if I were to ask anybody in this room, what you got going on tomorrow? What's your plans for tomorrow? You probably have an idea of what you're thinking about doing tomorrow. Well, I'm going to get up the same time I always do, and I'm going to go to work. Or I'm going to work in the garden tomorrow. Or I'm going to go and see this person over here in this town. And you've got plans for things that you're going to do tomorrow. But anything could happen between now and then that could throw that plan completely off, couldn't it? Anything. You could be on your way to see that person in that other town, and you could have an accident. Someone in front of you could have an accident, and the road be blocked for hours. You never know what could happen. You don't know what tomorrow holds, and you can't control what tomorrow holds. So really, to have a truly unassailable plan would mean that we would have to know the events of tomorrow in order to guarantee its success. If we're going to have a plan that's going to work without fail, that means that we would have to know what's going to happen tomorrow without fail. And we don't. We don't know the future with certainty, and we cannot control the future. And so our plans should not presume upon what we do not know. Proverbs 27, verse 1 teaches us this. It says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. We don't have knowledge or control over the future. One of the verses that we read this morning from Proverbs 16, verse 9 says this, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." God holds tomorrow. We don't. Another reason why James teaches us here that we need to do our plans in humility before God is not only because we don't know or control the future, but also because our lives are short and full of uncertainty. Our lives are short and full of uncertainty. He says in verse 14, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." In other words, what he's doing in verse 14 is he's reminding us not only the limits of our knowledge, you don't know tomorrow, but he's also reminding us the limits of our frailty as human beings. Your life, it's like a mist, it's like a vapor. Doug Moo says in his commentary, he says, illness, accidental death, or the return of Christ could cut our lives short just as quickly as a shift in the wind blows away smoke. That's how our lives are. Anything could happen in our lives. An illness, car accident. We don't even know when the Lord's going to return, he says. So many things that are outside of our control. And in the grand scheme of world history, in the grand scheme of eternity, our lives are just a short blip on the screen. Our lives are short and full of uncertainty, and they are soon gone. And so we need to be humble in making our plans. I think another reason that James is teaching us here that planning for the future should be done in humility is because to plan in presumption is to presume upon God's good providence. To make plans proudly, presumptuously, is to assume that tomorrow holds God's good providence. In other words, we're taking for granted the goodness and the graciousness of God. Presumptuous planning does not just ignore God's sovereignty. It assumes and takes for granted the fact that God's providence tomorrow will be good. And so when you're planning presumptuously, you're not just ignoring God's sovereignty, you're assuming that sovereignty, and you're assuming that tomorrow that sovereignty is going to be good and in your favor. God's good providence is a gift that we do not deserve. And to assume good providence tomorrow is to take for granted God's common grace. We should not assume that things are going to go well for us tomorrow. We can pray that they will. We can submit our plans to God asking that they will, but we should not assume such. We should not assume that things are going to go well and do it in prideful presumption. And so James teaches us how we should plan, how we should look at our lives. In verse 15, he says, "This is what you ought to say. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." That's the humility that James is teaching us. Now, what I don't want us to do is I don't want us to think that verse 15 just becomes a quick phrase or formula that we can tack on the end of everything that we say as if that's what James is teaching us here. And I'm sure you've heard people do this. You may do this, and I may do it sometimes unconsciously. We say the phrase, "if the Lord wills." "I'll see you tomorrow, if the Lord wills." And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's not just becoming a rote, memorized phrase that we say all the time. Because what we really need to have is in our minds the humility that James is talking about here. Whether we say the phrase or not, we need to have in our hearts this humility, whether or not we say it out loud. "If the Lord wills, this is what I will do tomorrow or next year." And so this is more of a mindset. It's more of a humility before God, recognizing our limitations and God's sovereignty. So humble yourselves and submit all of your plans to him. In verse 16, he says, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. And so let us not fall into that label, that description. Let us not be the kind of people that James is describing in this passage, of business people who are arrogant and boastful and saying, hey, we're going to go and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and I'm going to accomplish this. And here's the problem. I think the issue is the problem comes in our planning is when we take God and his will out of the equation. When we take God and his will out of the equation, when we place our confidence in ourselves and in our own wisdom, that's presumptuous planning. That's arrogant planning. To plan, to make plans without seeking God's ethical will or humbling ourselves before his sovereign will is to follow the wisdom of the world. Remember back at the end of James chapter 3, he was distinguishing for us the wisdom that is earthly wisdom and the wisdom that is heavenly wisdom. And I think in many ways he's continuing that same theme even here on into chapter 4, where he's comparing the different ways that people can plan. If you plan arrogantly and presumptuously, then that means you're placing your confidence in yourself, in your own strength, in your own wisdom, your own ability. And he says that's earthly wisdom. But to take God and his will, his ethical will, what his word says, as well as placing our will under his sovereign will, that is heavenly wisdom. That's heavenly wisdom. Humility. And that fits with what he told us about heavenly wisdom back at the end of chapter 3. He says in verse 16, where, this is chapter 3, verse 16, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you have disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So one is prideful, that's earthly wisdom. One is submissive and humble, that is heavenly wisdom. And that's what he's teaching us here. So first of all, planning for the future I think is good. It's necessary, it's wise, it reflects the image of God in us. But all of our planning should be done in humility, not in prideful presumption. Last point that I want to make this morning, number 3. While humbly planning for the future, we should seize every opportunity to do good in the present. While humbly planning for the future, we should seize every opportunity to do good in the present. And I draw that from verse 17. In verse 17, James says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Many of us have quoted James 4, verse 17, and we've placed it in all kinds of contexts in our lives. And we've related it to the idea of sins of omission. And that's a very legitimate point. And that is, you have sins of commission, things that you do that are sinful, but you also have sins of omission, that is, things that you should do but don't. And James 4:17 can fit into that idea of sins of omission, things that I should do that I know that are good to do, but I don't. But what I want to do this morning is I want to link verse 17 in with the paragraph, with the context in which it's found. And I think the flow of thought is this, that if our plans are ultimately dependent and subservient to the sovereign providence of God, and if we don't know or control tomorrow, then what does that mean for the present? It means, verse 17, that because I can't control the future, I should not delay doing good in the present. Because I don't know or control the future, I should not delay doing good in the present. Do good today because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Do good today because you may not even have a tomorrow. Do good today because to put it off for another day is to proudly presume on the future that you do not control. And how many of us do this all the time? We see an opportunity. This is an opportunity to do good. It's an opportunity to pay a compliment to someone. It's an opportunity to call someone on the phone and encourage someone. It's an opportunity to do a good work, even just a task that would be helpful to our family. And yet many, many times we procrastinate and we put this off and we say, you know, I'll have time to do that tomorrow. The next time I see this person, I'll do that. Right now, think about your relationships. Is there somebody in your life that you need to forgive? Is there somebody in your life that you've wronged that you need to ask forgiveness from? The next time you see them, do it. Because you don't control tomorrow. The one who knows to do good, who has an opportunity to do good, an opportunity for good presents it to you, and you do not do it, to you it is sin. Why? Because you're falling into the trap of being pridefully presumptuous on the future. You're taking an opportunity and a divine appointment that God has given to you, and you're passing it up, thinking you'll have another one later on. Don't do that. One of the things that I'm guilty of and I'm continuing to work on by God's grace all the time is procrastination. Now, I know there's lots of procrastinators here in the room, so I know I'm not alone in this. But sometimes I think procrastination can fall into this category of sinful, prideful presumption, can't it? Because we put something off. Why? Because I'd rather do something better. I'd rather do something fun right now. I'd rather do that hard thing later. But what is that doing? That's assuming, isn't it? It's presuming a lot. It's presuming that you'll have that opportunity later. It's putting a lot of confidence in yourself to be able to pull that off at the last minute later. And I fall into that trap all the time. And James is reminding us here, we don't know what tomorrow holds. And so if you have an opportunity to do good today, don't put it off till tomorrow. Because if you put it off till tomorrow, you're sinning in prideful presumption. So while we plan for the future, also seize the moment. Seize the present. Seize the day that God has given to you because He's given you today. He has not guaranteed you tomorrow. And so the main idea that James is teaching us is remembering that our God is ultimately sovereign, we should humbly plan for the future while at the same time making every opportunity count in the present. Recognizing, remembering that our God is sovereign, we should humbly plan for the future while also taking advantage of every opportunity in the present. And so may God's grace help us to do that. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, you are merciful and gracious to us. And Lord, there are many, many times in our lives when we see an opportunity to do good, when we know the good that we should do, and yet we put it off. We don't do it. Lord, forgive us of our pride in that. Forgive us of our fear in not seeking to do that good thing in the moment. Forgive us of our fear of man, or our fear of the praise or the condemnation of others. Forgive us of our anxious thoughts. Forgive us of our laziness. The reasons why we often put good things off until tomorrow. Forgive us of our pride. Lord, help us to put into practice this heavenly wisdom that James is teaching us here, to remember, and to remember with awe and with worship and with praise the fact that you are the sovereign Lord of the universe, that there's nothing outside of your control. And Lord, that should be a comfort to us. It should be a reminder to us of your greatness and your goodness to us. But Lord, help us never to take that goodness that you've shown to us and presume upon it by thinking that we hold or control tomorrow. May we always humbly submit our plans before you as we seek to do good, as we seek to love you and love our neighbors around us. Lord, take this word and implant it into our hearts. We pray this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.